today as we come to the table.
It's time to be more aggressive in your investments. And that may mean stepping out of your comfort zone. It may mean getting involved in something you never would have been involved in before. But you know what? How many chances do you have? How many shots are you going to have? Jesus said in the parable of the talents, he gave a certain amount to each one. And depending on how they invested it, he gave them their reward. What he's telling us is this: one day we're going to stand before Jesus Christ and we're going to be gathered around, if you will, even as Jacob's sons were gathered around here in type. We're going to be gathered around and Jesus is going to say, Mark, I gave you this, this, and this. Here's what you did. There's your reward. Wow.
Are you maximizing the gifts and talents that God has given you? In today's teaching, Pastor Mark will look at the story of Jacob blessing his sons according to their deeds and how this provides wonderful imagery of how we will stand before our Heavenly Father someday. We want to make him proud. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. We know that our salvation is not dependent upon our good works, but the Lord has called us to live for Him while on this earth. Each one has unique God-given abilities that He wants us to maximize for the kingdom. Pray and ask the Lord to show you how and where He wants to use your life for Him today. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis chapter 49 with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Now, I have to be the first to admit that sometimes I get to certain portions of scripture, and maybe you've done this. You're thinking, Lord, what's going to be in this for me? You know, especially when you come to like a genealogy or you come to other things. Lord, what are you going to say to me in this? And as we come to chapter 49, we come to a place in the book of Genesis where God is speaking of the future of Israel. And in so doing, you might think, what does it have to do with me? What does it have to do with us? But again, as I've always seen with God's word, it's amazing. It doesn't matter what portion of scripture you're in. As you begin to look at it and study it, God just has application jump off the pages into our lives. And so today, as we look at the future of Israel, we're also going to be seeing, I believe, God ministering to us about the hope that we have in the future with the Lord as well. And so the Bible is an amazing thing. It says it's sharper than any two-edged sword, alive and breathing. And what sets the Bible apart, it's one of the things that sets it apart. And even in this passage today, one of the things that makes it so amazing as compared to all the other so-called holy books is that this particular book, the Bible, not only dares to tell the future prophetically, but up to this point has been proven to be 100% accurate. Now, that's a pretty good track record, don't you think? And it's amazing to me. And here's where I take courage. If God's word has been 100% accurate up to this point, do you think he's going to stop now? I don't think so. I don't think God said, well, we made it up to 2008. So far, I'm batting 1,000. We'll just kind of let it go from this point on. No, the same God that has brought everything to pass that he said would come to pass up to this point will finish it till the end. And that's what makes this so exciting and so interesting as we look at this passage here talking about the future of Israel. Now, it not only proves again that it's not written by man, that it's a supernatural book, but it's written by a God who knows the future but also controls it. And that should also be very encouraging to us as his followers. Now, in this passage today, we're going to see Jacob speaking the last words he says to his family. Kind of picture in your mind, if you will, you know, the family around the bed. And really, that's what it is. This is the final goodbye of Jacob to his sons. It's the Hollywood, you know, bedside goodbye. I mean, typically it doesn't happen that way, does it? You know, most of us, we don't know when we're going or how we're going, and there isn't that bedside moment where all the family's there and the father's there giving the blessing or talking and saying the final goodbye. Sometimes it does, but it usually doesn't, but that's what's happening here today. And so picture the scene in your mind as we get the setting before we jump into this portion. There's Jacob. Here's all of his sons gathered around him, and this was a special moment, you see, for people in that culture. And especially for Jacob's family, you see, for people in that culture, number one, this is when the blessings were passed down. This is when the family would receive the last things they did from their father, and maybe even inheritance. But now for Jacob, we're talking about something God is passing down. And all of the sons knew that. There was the Abrahamic blessing where God had supernaturally and specifically chosen Abraham and promised Abraham and his descendants a special blessing. Then, of course, Isaac comes. And then after Isaac came Jacob, and now Jacob is passing that on. So this was a great moment of anticipation. They're gathered around, what's going to happen? What's going to be the pronouncement? Not only is, you know, maybe the idea of what's dad going to leave for us, but what's the future going to hold for us? Because now he would be speaking prophetically for God. We'll see Jacob here speaking by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And this is interesting to me too. He's going to be saying some things they want to hear and some things they don't want to hear. And this is what I love about the Lord. That is, the Lord tells us the truth. You know, when God speaks to our heart, he doesn't just tell us everything we're doing right. God rebukes us. And in love, God will say, all right, you're doing this right. And way to go there. However, you have this area that you need to deal with. And God may actually do some of that in our hearts, speaking to us and convicting us of things that we need to deal with. And so again, God will tell them not just what they want to hear, but what they need to hear. Now, again, as they're gathered around him, it's an interesting scene because it speaks of the blessing of Jacob on them. But when I read some of this, it doesn't sound too much like a blessing. You know, some of it sounds like, wait a minute, that's not so much a blessing, that's a curse. But it's the idea of the blessing being passed down from Jacob to his sons. And so that's the idea we have here. And it really gives us a picture of what it's going to be like for us when we stand before the Lord. Now, look at the picture. You've got the father. He's there and all the sons are gathered around him. And now he's about to speak into their life and give them reward for what they have done right or cursing for what they have done wrong. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to stand before Jesus one day and be cursed. Don't get me wrong. The Bible says we will stand before the Lord if you know Jesus Christ, and he will mete out to us the rewards that are due us for what we've done. But for the things we have done wrong or have not done that he's asked us to do, we will lose reward. So in type, there's a picture of this here where he's giving them the blessing of what they've done right, but he's also letting them know of the things they've done wrong. And this is really the key, I believe, of where God even redirected my heart this morning. And you know, I really like it when God gives me my notes before the teaching. But there are those rare occasions where God will redirect. And it's not that God didn't give me any notes, and it's not that I didn't prepare, but God redirected this morning in this particular passage to a point to where I think what God was speaking was emphasizing the fact that we need to take heed to where we are right now, guys. What God wants us to do, God wants us to make sure that we're taking the life we have at this moment, investing it in the things of the kingdom so that it will come out in eternal reward. Now, we've talked about this before. But this is what I believe has really been put heavy on my heart this morning, and that is this. This is our only opportunity to store up for the future. This is it. And one of the things that we're going to find out when Jacob starts talking to his sons and telling them about what they've done and what they will do is, depending on what they had done up until that point, had a great impact on what would happen in their future generations and even their eternal destiny. Now, where does that apply to us? The same thing is true. Depending on what you do, depending on what I do right now, in this life that we're living, it's just going to depend on where we are in the kingdom and what God does with us eternally. You know, once we get up to heaven, we're not going to have a makeup test. It's going to be, what have we done right now? And as I read this, the conviction of God's Spirit came upon me and really, I think, was driving it home this morning of saying, Mark, what are you doing right now for me? What are you doing with what I've given you and what are you investing? Now, some of you have been given more than others. Some of you have great talents. Some of you have very few talents. Some of you have great resources. Some of you have very little resources. God's not going to judge us or reward us, I should say, based on what we have or don't have. He's going to judge us based on what we've done with what we have. You see the difference? Well, I don't have a lot. Lord, I can't speak well and I can't do this. That's okay. What can you do? I can do this. Then go do it. And watch how I will bless you. And the key to remember is that as he's telling them, you've done this, and now this will be the result to the future generations, we have to realize as we serve the Lord right now or don't serve the Lord right now, that will be what God does with us in the millennial kingdom and in the eternity that follows. So again, I don't want to get us on a mindset of some kind of heavenly greed, but I also think there's great wisdom. Because when we stand before the Lord, even as Jacob's son standing before him, he's going to begin to mete out the rewards and tell us about ourselves and tell us what we've done and now show us our reward. And if there's not much to show for it, we're going to wish we could go back and change it. It's too late at that point. And so now's the time to invest. Now's the time to take action. And again, none of us know when that day is going to be that we go to be with the Lord. So it's important that we take action now. And so again, we see this picture here of the sons around the Father. Again, I believe a foreshadowing picture of even as we are going to be standing around Jesus Christ. Now, let me make the difference here before we get into the passage so we understand. You will not stand before the Lord if you are a believer. You will not stand before the Lord to be judged as to whether or not you get into heaven. You're getting in. If you've given your life to Christ, you are born again, your sins are washed away, you are getting in the kingdom of God. But you will stand before the Lord, even as Jacob's son stood around him to receive what you're going to receive as your inheritance and your blessing or lack thereof based on what you've done right now on this planet during this time. And I think the thing that's so awesome to me about this that really is almost fearful to me, and I get a sense of fear this morning, not a bad fear, a godly fear, but realizing, Lord, you know, what have I done up to this point, and now what can I do from this point on? Because this is my only chance for eternity to store up treasure in heaven. You know, when you talk to your guy with your portfolio and you're trying to put ahead for your family, they're going to say, well, you need to do this depending on how much time you have. You want to store away, you know, and more conservative, and then it'll grow over time. But if you say, you know what, I haven't really put away and we don't have many years to go, he's going to say, you need to be aggressive. You need to put away and higher yield things and take a few more chances than others would take because your time is short. The same thing is true when it comes to our heavenly portfolio. And that is this, you may be younger. Listen, I'm not saying don't go for it because you're young. Now's the time to invest. I'm jealous because you can store up a lot more than I have the opportunity to do. I wasted the first 25 years of my life not even coming to Christ. And so, but you've got time, invest it. But what about those of us that came in later years? Maybe you came to the Lord in your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, your 60s. Maybe you're just now starting to realize the need to get involved and to start serving and say, God, this isn't about, you know, being a good Christian and serving at my home church. This is about eternity and what you're going to be doing with me forever. It's time to get going. And I would encourage some of you, if you've not been investing up to this point and you're later on, it's time to be more aggressive in your investments. And that may mean stepping out of your comfort zone. It may mean getting involved in something you never would have been involved in before. But you know what? How many chances do you have? How many shots are you going to have? Jesus said in the parable of the talents, he gave a certain amount to each one. And depending on how they invested it, he gave them their reward. What he's telling us is this: one day we're going to stand before Jesus Christ and we're going to be gathered around, if you will, even as Jacob's sons were gathered around here in type. We're going to be gathered around and Jesus is going to say, Mark, I gave you this, this, and this. Here's what you did. There's your reward. Wow. Then he's going to say, your name. Here's what I gave you. Here's what you did. Now, I'm not going to say God's going to necessarily say, here's what you didn't do. I'm not saying that he's going to shame us or make us feel bad about it. But I think that I'll know, here's what I didn't do. And here's the reward I didn't see. I didn't, you know, attain or get. And I think there's so many of us that sit back and think, you know what, I've gotten saved, I'm in the kingdom, I'm going to show up to church. Isn't that enough? I sat there an hour, you know, and I listened to this guy, and come on, it's like, you know, isn't that enough? I know people that didn't even go for their hour this week. I've got great reward in heaven. What a surprise when we get there and find out, why didn't you invest what I gave you? Why didn't you just take whatever it was, whether it's your personal resources, whether it's personal abilities, whatever the case might be, I believe on my heart this morning, what the Spirit is saying to Calvary Chapel Knoxville, because of how God has redirected me, is to our body, he wants me to say, you know what, we need to invest. It's time to invest in the kingdom. I'm not talking financially, obviously that can be a part of it, but I'm not talking about financially. I'm talking spiritual investments. Take your life and make it worth something. And again, depending on how much time you have left, it's time to get going. It's time to really kick into gear. And it's time to be serving the Lord. And so again, we're going to see him talking to them today about what they've done and now what their future is going to be because of that. And we can relate that to what we have done and what our future is going to be as well. Notice verse 1. It says, and Jacob called his sons and he said, gather together that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days. Now, a couple of things to note, obviously gathering them together. But whenever you see the term the last days, it's always speaking of the very end. Now, you're going to see two things go on during this particular chapter, and that is he's going to speak about their immediate future and the very end. But the key we want to recognize here is he's emphasizing the very end, which shows that God, again, is not through with the nation of Israel, and God is not through with you. So even as he tells them what they've done and what's going to happen, God is saying, you've got more time now, do something with it. But here's what's going to be in the last days with the nation of Israel, but what about us? What's going to be in our last days? We need to worry about our immediate situation right now, but also about our last days to come. And so whenever you see last days, you Bible students, you prophecy students, mark that up as saying, all right, this is going to be what God is going to be doing with the nation of Israel, which, by the way, emphasizes all the more that God is not through with the nation of Israel. Now, we know that. But again, this shows us God still has plans for the nation of Israel and what he's going to be doing. He says, so this is for the last days. Let's listen up. Notice, gather together and hear, you sons of Jacob, and listen to Israel, your father. Now he starts in with the first one. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Now, so far, so good. If I was Reuben, I probably would be standing up a little straighter with all the brothers, and they're all hearing this, and yes, that's right. I'm the strength, the firstborn, and the excellency of his strength, and this is good, Dad. Keep going. This is real good. There's going to be something real good in this for me. The problem was Reuben had been unfaithful. Reuben had been unfaithful to God, and Reuben had been unfaithful to his own father and his own brothers. And because of that, now we're going to see there's a consequence. As I said, so far, so good. It starts out okay. But notice what he says in verse 4. After telling what he should have been, he says, unstable as water, you shall not excel. Wow, how his heart must have sunk. He says, because you went up to your father's bed, then you defiled it. He went up to my couch. Remember what Reuben did? You remember the story? Right after Rachel died, Reuben swept in on Bilhah, Jacob's concubine, and had relations with her. And no doubt taking advantage of a moment of weakness in Jacob, no doubt taking advantage of the fact that, especially with Bilhah, you know, she always knew that Rachel was the one that was loved. Rachel was the wife that he always looked upon, that his heart always yearned for. And so now he goes in and says, you know what, he doesn't really love you, and I do. And so in this relationship, this, you know, illicit relationship that went on, this sin against God and against his father, and the worst of sins. You know, not only with his father's, you know, other wife, and the issue here is not whether or not, you know, we know there's not multiple wives, there shouldn't be today. We're not going to get into the cultural issues of it, but just the impact that it had on the family of what he did to his father, being unfaithful to God, being unfaithful to his own dad. And because of that, he now suffers the consequences, and the consequences are great indeed. Now, again, why were the consequences so great? The firstborn was to receive a double portion. And this would have been the time that he said, you're getting double of all your brothers. You get more than everyone, and God's going to bless you above your brothers. But note this, because of his sin, he lost it. And guys, here's what we've got to believe. Was he still a son? Yes. But what we have to understand as believers, when we talk about being good stewards and our future reward that we've already been discussing here as we've laid the groundwork, is depending on how we live our life for Christ, we can suffer consequences and lose what God wanted for us. You see what great potential Reuben had. I mean, he could have had a sandwich named after him. All these things could have happened in Reuben's life. I have to keep it light from time to time. I'm sorry. Sometimes it gets so heavy, you're kind of just looking at me. But he had so much potential in his life. But what happened? He was foolish. Guys, what about you? What giftings has God given you? What potential do you have to serve and to be used in the kingdom of God? And you're sitting back on it doing nothing. Listen, I'm not here to chastise. This is not my heart. I love you guys. You're my family. I'm here to encourage. And what I believe the Spirit is saying to us and to me is make sure that you're not being foolish with your time and your decisions and your resources and all that God has done, so that on that day you can receive the reward. Oh, Mark, you have such potential. But if you don't use it the right way, you're going to lose it another way. You see, Reuben is now losing some of his reward on earth and probably eternally in heaven because of his unfaithfulness down here on earth to his father. Now, let me give this balance, because some of you are saying, but wait a minute, I've been unfaithful and I repented and all this. You're in a different camp. You're in a different camp. Yes, there's consequences to sin, and we will suffer those consequences. But the difference in Reuben, the reason Reuben's consequences carried on so greatly, is because Reuben never did confess or repent. We see nothing in the scripture about Reuben going to his dad and saying, Dad, I've got to come clean on this. But his dad found out about it. And no doubt Reuben thought, I've done it. I've pulled it off. I got away with it. No one knows that I went into Bilhah, because nothing has happened. And some 40 years went by. And now he's standing with all of his brothers, with his father, waiting on the blessing of the inheritance. And what happens? The bomb is dropped. God didn't forget it. And God knows it. And now, Reuben, you're going to be confronted on it. Wow, this is heavy. See, no doubt thought he got away with it. And now not only is it's exposed in front of all of his brothers. Note this, the Bible says that if we as believers do not confess our sin to God, God will expose it in front of the entire congregation. That scares me to death. I don't really want you guys having some big assembly hearing about what I've done. That doesn't seem something that is appealing to me at all. Now, that, don't worry. So we're not gonna have Sundays where we start announcing, well, so and so in the body, things to announce today. You know, during the announcements, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that God will expose us. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. And believers who sin and try to hide it, they can do it for a while, but God will expose it. And here's the difference. If a believer goes to the Lord and confesses it, God says, I'll keep it quiet. If a believer tries to hide it, God exposes it in front of the entire congregation. That's intimidating. And it's like, you know what, Lord, I want to get it right with you, but I don't want this to go any farther. He says, deal with it, get it right, and it won't go any farther. Reuben didn't deal with it. Reuben didn't get it right. And now after hearing this glowing report of how he started, his heart drops, and his brothers no doubt were kind of sitting there in that kind of uncomfortable moment among the family as God is speaking through Jacob and saying, busted. Here's what you did. Reuben, if you'd only confessed. Guys, here's my appeal to you on this. Listen, if you've got sin right now and you say, no one knows it, I got away with it, I'm not gonna worry about it. Listen, confess it to the Lord. You don't have to come to me. You know, I'm not gonna pull a curtain. You know, you're gonna say something on the other side, or you don't have to go to a friend to confess anything, but here's what you need to do. You need to get alone with God and say, I have sinned against you and I ask your forgiveness. And God says, done deal. Done deal. Nobody's gonna know about it. Nobody needs to know about it. It's done. But if you say, I'm not going to ask forgiveness, it wasn't that bad. I know other people that have done it. Get ready, because God will expose it. Because God loves you, and God chastises his children. You know, God wants us to be wise with our, you know, our, what we do, and not only with our resources, but also to be faithful in repentance and taking things to the Lord. And now Reuben has this shocker as this bomb is dropped on him, thinking that he got away with it. And now suddenly he's exposed before everyone. We can be sure that eventually our sin will find us out. And so again, you know, it's sad thing to me in this is the huge price he had to pay if he had just gotten it right, as compared to the fact, you know, and his generations after him, his whole family, his whole tribe suffers now. You know, the tribe of Reuben never did anything of any value. As a matter of fact, they never were even useful to the others. When the battle of Deborah and Barak, when they called on the tribe of Reuben to help, what did they do? They ignored them. They didn't come. And they never were of any use to the nation of Israel. Now, they didn't lose their position as a son. I think you get the analogy. They were still a part of the family. They didn't lose their position as a son, but they lost their reward. That's my heart today, is that none of us lose our reward. And again, if you've already done something saying, I've already because of this, listen, the good news is if you confess it, God will wipe it away and God will give you a brand new start and brand new reward. How do we know that? Because I'm going to tell you something before we get there. And that is, I need to make a contrast between Reuben and Judah. You see, Judah also betrayed the family. Judah also betrayed God. It tells us in earlier chapters that Judah went away and he married this unbelieving woman, which the Bible forbids, who had apparently, you know, unbelieving beliefs, unbelieving gods, all these different things, or false gods and all this, had two children that were very ungodly, so ungodly that God struck them dead, the scripture says. And then his wife died. And all this thing, he brought shame to his family. He did all these horrible things. And no doubt he came back dragging his, you know, with his tail between his legs back to his family saying, you know what, I really blew it bad here. But here's the difference. Judah confessed. Judah repented. And when we get to Judah, you know what? There's not one mention of anything that he's done wrong in the past. There's only the reward that awaits him. I love that about our God.
Thanks for joining us as we come to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark Kirk. In this series, Pastor Mark is teaching from the book of Genesis. Genesis is a book that covers genealogy, world history, and God's promises. It was written by Moses to those who perhaps needed the reminder of how God came through for his people, no matter what. Do you need this reminder today? We're so glad you decided to join us for this series. There's nothing greater than spending time together at the feet of our Lord. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville. If you're in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love to see you in person. We have services on Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m., and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. If you're interested, go to thewaymedia.net and scroll to the bottom of the page. You'll notice a link to Calvary Knoxville. If you can't make it in person, you can find all sorts of messages available at thewaymedia.net. Or you can download these messages too on the Way Media app. Find it at your Apple App Store or Google Play Store. We're about out of time for today's edition, but we want to hear from you. Would you give us a call and let us know what you've been learning from Genesis? Our number is 865-609-1385. Once more, that's 865-609-1385. Pastor Mark has more to share with us as we go verse by verse through this book of beginnings. Keep reading, so you'll be ready to dig through Genesis the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.